From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to chapter 1, taking as his text verses 18 through 32. This passage describes mankind's descent into unspeakable wickedness and perversion, the result of having rejected God's revealed truth about himself. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, it is this suppression of God's truth that is the foundation of all other sin. Again, we see that man has no excuse for not knowing God, for even the very heavens declare the glory of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Rejectors of God Rejected. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled, A Name Guarantee. The text is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 13, a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It is not every believer who has yet learned to pray in Christ's name, to ask not only for his sake, but in his name, as authorized by him, is a high order of prayer. We would not dare to ask for some things in that blessed name, for it would be a wretched profanation of it. But when the petition is so clearly right that we dare set the name of Jesus to it, then it must be granted. Prayer is all the more sure to succeed because it is for the Father's glory through the Son. It glorifies his truth, his faithfulness, his power, his grace. The granting of prayer, when offered in the name of Jesus, reveals the Father's love to him and the honor which he has put upon him. The glory of Jesus and of the Father are so wrapped up together that the grace which magnifies the one magnifies the other. The channel is made famous through the fullness of the fountain, and the fountain is honored through the channel by which it flows. If the answering of our prayers would dishonor our Lord, we would not pray. But since in this thing he is glorified, we will pray without ceasing in that dear name in which God and his people have a fellowship of delight.
Jesus, Lord,
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you. Tonight we continue with our studies in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 18. We have already dealt with verses 18 through 23, but for the connection we're reading at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of this passage of his word for his own name's sake. The passage we've been reading in Romans chapter 1 is primarily a passage all about the ancient world. Paul fashioned this description of moral depravity and moral perversion directly from what he saw round about him. The apostle lived in a very ungodly society, a society that had religion aplenty, but it was a religion of man's own devising. To be plain, it was idolatry. Now there is a rule that we would need to understand and mark. Idolatry always produces immorality. The figment and the fiction of so many atheistic anthropologists about the happy heathen who would be better off if the Christian gospel were never brought to them at all is just that, a figment, a fiction, and a lie. Idolatry produces immorality. immorality cannot stand still. I'm very tempted to take time off from the studies in Romans and enter into a little homily for all you young people here. Immorality never stands still. You introduce a young person to a little pornography, what the world now euphemistically terms soft porn, and you will find it doesn't stop there, but it goes further and further and further, debasing, debauching, and desensitizing. For immorality cannot stand still. It must descend into the pit of sexual perversion. This is what happened, for example, in Rome. There in the imperial capital of the greatest empire with the greatest power and the greatest wealth the world had yet known, there sensuous pleasure ruled society, leaving the wreckage of human life, both male and female, along the way. It ruined every semblance of marital fidelity and domestic purity. So debased were the Greeks and the Romans in apostolic times that they generally preferred what we call pedophilia, the use of young boys to satisfy the lusts of evil men. Among the Romans and the Greeks, this was esteemed better than heterosexual love. One scholar has said, there is nothing that Paul said about the heathen world that the heathen moralists had not themselves already said. And vice did not stop with crude and natural vices. Society from top to bottom was riddled with unnatural vice. And later that same writer remarks, 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals. When Paul painted this picture of moral depravity and perversion, he was simply depicting what was clearly visible all around him. This perversion is ungodliness. It's the word Paul uses in verse 18. It is ungodliness. The deliberate rejection of God and of His law. And ungodliness produces unrighteousness, wickedness of every other kind. And the verses that follow here in Romans chapter 1 describe the filthy torrent of human depravity without fudging the edges of the picture, without obscuring all the vileness and the wickedness of this terrible evil that penetrated into every stratum of society, that touched every relationship in society, that wrecked and ruined everything from the state right down to the humblest home. John Chrysostom, the famed golden-mouthed preacher of the ancient Greek church, summed up Paul's teaching here by saying of these people, not only was their doctrine satanical, but their life too was diabolical. Now when we read this catalogue of vice, we may well ask, how did the world ever come to be in such a state? And the answer in Romans chapter 1 is very clear. Remember what we have studied already. God revealed himself to all mankind. In the initial creation, God revealed himself. As he was created, Adam could not explain the heavens above him or the earth around him, or he could not explain anything within himself apart from reference to the one true and living God, his creator. Nothing made sense apart from God. And let me tell you, to this day, nothing makes sense apart from God. All the philosophies of men, all the scientific theories of men that are postulated on atheism ultimately break down before the very facts that they claim support their theories, because they cannot hammer and chisel the witness of all the brute facts of nature into any other system of interpretation than that that has God, the God of Scripture, at its heart. Not only did God reveal himself initially to Adam, but as I indicated, as a personal belief, don't say that it has to be a matter of orthodoxy, but I think I can defend it from Scripture, that when he did so, and men fell into sin, God used what he had created, especially in the heavens, to teach them the gospel. I pointed out that the psalmist tells us he gave the stars their names. We speak of the Big Dipper in Britain. I well remember in school being sent out at night to look up in the sky and find all these things. I don't know if I found them or imagined I found them, but the teacher was happy and I was happy and the thing was done. We called it the plow. You call it the Big Dipper. Ursa Major. That's not the name God gave to it. He gave them their names.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.